Okay, it is 10 a.m. and we are recording.
Then I need a printed agenda. Give me a printed agenda.
I got it.
I got it.
Hey, can I have mine? What happened to yours, John? What'd you do with it?
I don't know. I have it on, I normally use it off the board, but I thought
giving you a bad time.
Run it, so. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is the regular meeting, August 5th, 2026, 10 o'clock in the morning of the Personnel Committee. In attendance are Linda Butler, Director, and President John Merchant. Item one is the call to order, which is so done. There is no public present, so we will go on from comments to the public, which is item two, to item three, an updated organizational chart.
Would you like me to discuss this one?
Yes,
or Linda, or you want to start with it? So, just a little bit of history on this. When we were without a general manager, the board adopted the org chart that you see in front of you, where the district secretary, general manager, and finance, well, this is what it's morphed into. This is a new one that was adopted. And so this is what we currently have. We're district director of finance and admin, district secretary, and the interim general manager all roll up to the board of directors. And on the next slide, you'll see what it was before the general manager left and what it will return to, provided the board adopts this new org chart. Where the finance director, security supervisor, IT manager, and director of operations all roll up to the general manager. This is a proper organizational chart for our organizational structure. We have added the position of manager of administrative services / clerk of the board to this org chart, which is a new position that will come next in or at some point in today's agenda.
Can I just interrupt for one second?
Yeah, no. Well, let me finish my sentence, okay. And then you can have it. So this is what the staff is presenting. Hopefully the committee will decide to move this to the board.
One of the things that we wanted to make sure that everybody understood is that the manager of administrative services is not a new position per se. We have always had it. I've looked this up, and I've gone back to an email that Denise Gilliam,
Darlene
Gilliam, in June of 2014 sent out, and it was from Ed Krause, and the subject was approved director of administration recruiting proposal. So we go back a long way with having an administrative manager. What happened is that it was combined with finance manager. I'm not sure exactly when that happened, but I know that Mark Martin hired Tom Hennig to be the finance administrative director. And then when Tom Hennig became the general manager, he hired Paula O'Keefe to do both jobs. And
When Tom was here, it was still the director of administration, and a lot of finance stuff fell underneath that job, because that's what Darlene did. That was her skill set, was finance. And then it split when Paula came on board, I think, to finance and administration.
Right. And so bottom line is that is not a working situation. We can't have that combined in two places for a variety of reasons, but one of which each job has a totally different skill set and a totally different group knowledge background. Mm-hmm. To say nothing of the fact that both of those jobs are incredibly time-consuming, incredibly difficult, and have a humongous job description that goes along, and responsibility. And so, and it would be, I don't know, close to impossible to find somebody who actually could do both jobs well. We have not had that experience in the past. Both jobs combined together have not been well performed, I guess, to say the least. John, you want to add something?
Yeah, just the first thing, for consistency, make both of those titles Director of Operations and Director of Finance.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you see that?
Well, yeah, it says Finance.
And okay. You know, historically, we broke somewhat from this going back as far as, and I'm probably the only one who remembers, Greg Hall, who was a superior accountant under Ed. And when he left, he became the president of not GSRMA, but the other organization. There are two.
SDRMA.
SDRMA. And it got kind of combined for a while with Darlene. And then because Darlene was really functioning in both capacities at the time. And it broke again, but it didn't, when Mark Martin hired Tom, and Tom became the finance, the administration guy, the admin guy. And then we actually, at that point, because Paula had come here, brought in a lower level accounting person, I mean very low level accounting person, that got labeled as the controller. And beyond that, I really am not quite sure what.
So historically speaking, Tom came on, and I started July of 2019. August 1st of 2019, Cindy Chow came on as the controller.
Oh, that's what
Cindy
I mean.
Cindy Chow came on as the controller, and she was here, and then she got pregnant. So by July of 2020, in the midst of COVID, when we said it's time to come back, we're all going to wear masks and come back, she said, no, I found another position where I can work from home. And so then Michelle Ammon came in.
Temporary,
but she was here for a year in that position. And then Paula came in. Paula came in.
Tom hired her.
Like March 30th of 22.
Might have been.
Because she came in like the day before we had to present the budget and get the Prop 218 notice out.
So, at any rate.
Yeah, so that I mean, but this, history is, you know.
This kind of lends more to a traditional line of succession, if you will, and I think it makes sense. The administrative services is that it's treated less as a line position, if you will. Those are really tied up between operations and finance, where you have payables and receivables and people associated in an accounting department, and you have a full-fledged plant operations and field operations that we run in the operations side of the business. Everything else is. And security is pretty much the same way, I guess. But everything else is a support role, you know. So,
I think that one of the things that we tried to do is put this together as a part of a transition plan. And this org chart is basically from my opinion anyways, the best way, and maybe perhaps one of the most productive ways of putting together staff direction. And there's no question in my mind that the general manager will be the general manager. He or she, we're pretty close, I think, will be in charge of these people. And these people who are in these positions will answer to the general manager.
Which is the traditional org chart. This is how it was when I started
through
here, and how it's
I,
been
you know,
the whole
without
time.
Getting into the weeds, through the interviewing process, I have had questions directly from potential candidates, directly, you know, when looking at that chart that is not this one, but the other one, like, this is really the way it works here?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
because
it doesn't work that way everywhere else.
Anywhere else.
So.
And it worked that way because we Interim general manager. We had no director of operations. We put this together. There's an ad hoc committee with two boards of directors, which will be dissolved at the point that we hire our general manager.
Uh-huh.
And then there
uh-huh.
are two other work groups that the people who run the departments will be responsible for whether or not that is going to continue.
Yeah. And I think this structure, along with, I think, some simple rules when we sit a new board here, needs to take care of some of the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there are, 36 general managers in this organization that we should reduce that number
right.
to one.
Yes.
And we should show up here and approve budgets in the color of every truck we buy.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we need a general manager with
the experience to run a district.
Right.
So that's where I want to go.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Should the office technician be under the administrative manager? I mean,
the office technician. That's Jay.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So, absolutely. That's a finance position. She's working.
Is it a finance position or an administrative position?
Jay is opening all the envelopes with all the checks. She's scanning
in
the checks. She's going into the Tyler system, and she's entering those amounts as paid in people's bills. That's 100% finance.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is that the manager of administrative services is not, and clerk of the board is not supervising anybody.
Oh, okay.
Well, and when Darlene was here back in the Darlene days, the organization didn't have so many challenges
mm-hmm.
in front of it. And those have grown in the last 10 to 15 years substantially. That's why those positions are needed to be split apart. Like, Darlene didn't have to do 5 years of past audits because the audits were current. She didn't have to restructure everything because it was working. It was the best technology at the time.
When we were doing this, when I was here from 2002 to 2006, we were doing it essentially with, pretty much would have been one-third of the connections and one-third of the population.
Right.
So if you're taking in just routine calls, or you're taking in routine requests for information, or public records requests, or all that other stuff, the number has, we had, when I moved in here, we had 1,800 people. We got 6,300.
Yeah. So, yes, there's more work to be done.
Okay. Our gates worked perfectly because we didn't have any.
We had an arm that went up and down in a shack.
Anything else, guys? Do you see that?
Corey?
My two cents is, I see the line going down, so they all report to the finance director, but putting the accounting technician somewhere, I don't know if you can drop them down and space them out here so they kind of look like they're more equal or above.
Make the page, downsize the page one click, and you'll see there's a line.
This equipment mechanic should be kind of next to the chief plant. They should report to the chief plant, not to the plant operator. Would be my only other kind of suggestion.
Oh, it should be more where there's lines on the side.
So
see how these lines are on the side, and so each of these people is directly reporting. He wants this one to directly report to the plant. The plant operator.
No. That way the office tech is basically your entry level, and then you'd have it at the bottom, and then everything kind of, it should either be equal or next to, kind of like here, the equipment mechanic is kind of equal to
Well, the equipment mechanic should go all the way up to the director of operations.
No.
Chief plant operator.
Okay.
Chief plant operator.
See how that.
Before it was Director.
That was an Eric thing. It's always been,
it's always been Travis, and then Eric decided.
I don't have a problem if you want to take the mechanics and give them to the director. That was what Eric wanted, but it's always been reports to the chief plan. I don't know why Eric wanted him directly reporting to him.
Precisely. That doesn't make any sense.
He never talked to him.
Well, it doesn't make any sense.
He only talked to us.
Yeah.
In the
it doesn't make any sense because it's under the direction of the water, sewer, and drainage. It's not a part of any other.
And the chart, you're right, though, Corey. The chart might need to be smaller, but there is a line there, and this is something you'd have to go over with Cecilia, is like, does the senior accountant report to Cecilia, and does the staff accountant report to the senior accountant?
Correct.
Which I assume, I'm only assuming, because I don't know.
But why would
at some point,
that be Corey's responsibility?
No, it's not. I'm just.
That's what he's saying. Cecilia would have to confirm.
I'm observing the same thing he is. That it. Yeah, they're all in the right
category,
but they're not. You're not really delineating reporting authority correctly on the chart. That's all. I mean, that and you're right. The office technician. It should be probably whoever's in charge of receivables is going to be working most closely. That's up to Cecilia.
Yeah, that's how Cecilia wants it.
So that way you're looking there is kind of like that finance director is individually interacting with each one of those people. That's probably not the case. You know, I think you can put, like in Travis's case, you can put all your plant operators in one box, understanding that they have different levels of technical competence.
But, and we're going to deal with that next.
But the rest of it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The equipment mechanic would be equal to the plant operator reports to Travis and Alpha.
And, you know, I think at this point, for starters, until we get somebody else in here to restructure it the way they want it, you guys should know best where that equipment mechanic should be placed.
I think that one of the things that's hard to envision or more difficult to envision is that there will be a director of operations, water, sewer, and drainage, and that person will be supervised directly by the general manager, and so you will have a boss, and it's important to keep that in your mind that we're not going to be operating the way we are now with ad hoc committees and all that sort of stuff, that you will have a director of water and sewer and drainage operations. So that will be the person that you all will go to. And then your people will go to you, and you will go to that director. I mean, I'm sure that's pretty obvious. But because we don't have one right now, with the understanding that Travis is doing, you know, both jobs, I think that it's hard to keep that in your mind that, you know, there's going to be somebody in there.
Anything further? So if you want to juggle us around a little bit.
And then we'll take it to the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, that's right. I'm running this. Utility worker one, update to utility technician. Do you want to do all three at the same time, or do you have to do them one by one? It's up to you.
I figure it'd be easier to do all three at the same time.
Okay.
They all should pretty much overlap, and that's part of the problem we currently have is new employees, as you will, one that recently left last year, come on board, and they're working here, and they're upset that they have higher certifications and doing more work than some other employees that are in a higher class, if you will. And this will help better align that and actually keep the job description showing what they're supposed to be doing, as our previous job descriptions don't really describe everything they should be doing. It was pretty vague on the lower end of our utility worker one. This will also allow us to reclassify some employees that were put into positions without the proper certification, and bringing them better to align with their certification, because as we follow suit with other districts, utilities or organizations, they all have the same kind of stepping stones that you have to have a cert, you have to do the basic job, and then every job overlaps. So you're still doing the same job, but more duties will be assigned to you as you increase in elevation.
So let me ask this question. In line with that, and I, there's nothing I disagree with at all, what do we do or not do or tell the union about any of this?
We have to tell the union 100% of this.
Okay, and have
and
we? Or
I already have sent these job descriptions over to them.
Oh, good.
So she's taking a look at them. She will review them with the people that are affected by the job descriptions. Part of this is that we're getting the new truck. Have we gotten to that part yet?
So no. The other thing
so
is
there's more to the story.
So we also have a CIP approved project to get a vac truck, which this also allows those job descriptions to require a Class B tanker endorsement with air brakes so they can drive the vac truck. Because currently we don't have that in our requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So the vac truck order has been on hold pending these job descriptions.
Very good to know.
So I let her know,
hiring people who
Shannon over
the
at the union, that we're doing this simultaneously with getting that truck ordered because there's a 6-month, I think you said,
up to 9 months. So it depends on the truck, and that's where I'm trying to just make sure we keep it going.
Right. So we're doing this both things simultaneously. These job descriptions, we would like to have them approved by the union as soon as possible so that we can get our people in the classes for the training to learn how to drive the big trucks and get the Class A, because it's a whole class they have to go to for the training to learn how to drive Class A and B.
And that's already been set up in the budget to pay for those classes for them as well. So it's all budgeted and ready to go.
So as soon as she approves it, if the personnel's okay with this, I'll take it. Once the union's approved it, then I'll take it to the board for approval. But that way both things are happening and moving forward at the same time.
No, it's, I mean.
And it's really good to understand, like, for instance, the CIP project with the truck and how this is all related.
Okay.
Okay, so then the committee's okay moving this.
Yeah.
Finishing up with the union.
Mm-hmm.
She said she'd read them this week and then taking them to the workers, getting it approved. And then we have to keep in mind that we are having an MOU this year. We'll revise that. So that's going to start August, September.
So is there impact in your shuffling this way? Is there impact on salary structure at all? Does it move people up or down in the levels depending on where you...
So I believe...
I'm talking physically as opposed to, you know...
With the union involved and everything, I'm pretty sure we can shuffle a person to a lower position, but we won't be able to cut their pay per se.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't...
So, but it may change their cap, but they're also coming up for a salary survey study, I think, in December, so... That will be adjusted, and they'll be right in line where they need to be prior to that as well.
That would. I'm assuming that would correspond if they've picked up extra skills, a la to operate a vector truck. That would impact that range, I would think.
That's correct.
Okay.
Or will that be a certification for having that license, like it is for your D2? T3, whatever they are.
Right now, the way the job spec's written, it would be just part of the job, but then the job would, you know, as they do their survey study, they confirm it with other jobs surrounding and whether or not they coincide or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other guy is the owner of the Vector truck, and he's probably making about $750,000 a year, right?
The only other kind of caveat to this
comes from us.
Would be if we can keep possibly the utility worker one position as a... convert that to make it a 999 or a temporary position. So that way we could actually hire as needed a temporary employee or part-time employee instead of going out to a agency, if you will, paying an agency 25 plus an hour when they're only paying the employees 16, and we can actually get better part-time employees in and actually possibly be also to kind of try them out before we hire them as well. So if we can kind of keep that one there and convert that to a...
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
You picking up on that? You gonna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I think it's a good idea.
So can we? Do we need to put that in the job description anywhere?
So you want to keep utility one and change utility 1, 2, and 3 to?
So we need to have a utility technician 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
To align with the employees and with certs. That way the 3 would be a senior
just
leader.
At the bottom of that, just a utility. One.
But yeah, utility worker, you could say that utility worker is your entry level temporary employee only, because it's you wouldn't want to keep somebody without a cert, and the utility worker does not require a cert.
Okay.
Do we have a specific job description yet, or does the utility worker one fulfill that?
Temporary.
It'll fulfill. Okay. We just got to make sure it's noted as temporary going forward.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. I got it.
Okay.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Corey. Yeah, this is Corey's.
Anything more on that one? You guys do okay?
Mm-hmm. Travis, how about you?
I'm good with it. We've discussed this, and I'm 100% okay with it.
Okay.
Especially with how this will kind of help out and spell things out. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% behind it.
Okay. Good.
And we haven't addressed timeline on buying the truck or leasing it. What are we doing? Do we know? I mean,
I thought we were leasing it.
We are leasing it.
It's a lease option to own. I think okay. 7 years was what it was approved, okay. But I haven't started anything pending this.
Well, we have to probably. It's in the budget, right? Yeah, we put it.
It's in the budget. So is it time for him to go ahead and, move forward and start ordering that truck? No, Travis thinks no.
No, wait to make sure that these job descriptions are approved, because these job descriptions are going to require the B. Is that correct? Because if they're not approved,
then we have no one to drive it.
Then we have no one to drive it. So we're not going to place the order until these are approved.
Okay. Okay, I'll let Shannon know.
And that's where if everything goes good, hopefully, with the union and everything, maybe they can go to the board with this month, and then you should have no problem purchasing after.
Yeah. I don't. Well, as long as the union, as long as she does what she needs to do. She, isn't it?
Yeah. Shannon, yeah. I'm emailing her now.
Okay.
And Corey will be doing the board meeting this month because I'm having surgery on the 25th. So if there's questions, he will be here to answer them if the board has any problems. Because he'll be doing the board meeting and the improvements committee. And then the one in October, too, because I'll be in Thailand. But I'll be doing the September board meeting. But
okay.
I won't be able to make it because I'll just have surgery the previous day.
Yeah.
So he'll be here to answer questions if needed.
Trust me, that one hurts. I know. Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. Been there.
Knee surgery?
No. Next item, right?
Yeah. Next item.
Approved manager of administrative services job description. We have it. We've beat it to death. I think it's right. If anybody has any comments, we should move that forward. That's where we are.
We have spent a lot of time on this and taken it apart and made sure that it was A, what we want, and B, what is going to give us the best situation.
Huh?
Yeah, going forward. Especially for a new general manager who is not familiar with this district and is going to need a lot of help.
Yeah, yes. And the subsequent item, the same thing for the finance job description. There's a couple of things in there I'm still working on, so I'm not ready yet. But we will be shortly. Next meeting we'll bring that.
Will we
one
be
forward.
Ready by the board of directors meeting?
Maybe, maybe not. But we'll be ready before we get a new general manager.
Okay. So if we are ready to take that to the board on August 26th, do you want to move that? Does the committee want to move that job description to the board, the changes? Or do you want to bring it back
in? You can do that pending.
Okay. Yeah. You saying it's ready.
Could we put it on for discussion? Oh, it is a discussion item, not an action item.
No, it's an action item.
It would
when it
be
goes
an
to
action
the
item. There's no sense discussing it. We should just do one.
Right.
If we put it on there, we should vote on it.
And so since we're talking about action items, do you want the org chart, the utility worker, the
all of it.
A manager of finance, of admin, and the finance everything we've discussed today, would you like that to be on consent calendar, or would you like any of those to be pulled off and be action items where we talk about it? Keeping in mind that anybody can pull any of these off of consent.
Right, and probably will. So you could try start.
Let's
there.
Put it on consent. Okay,
but
yeah.
The other
it
thing,
makes the meeting go a lot faster.
I'm just trying to make sure too that go back, put that up, the org chart back up there for a minute. Even if it expands to 11 by 17 or whatever, I would like to see underneath each of those five operating management people. A breakdown in reporting authority as it actually will exist. In other words, if the senior accountant reports to the finance director, and the staff accountant reports to the senior accountant.
But it doesn't. It's clearly denoted there by the lines.
No, I know it is, but is that what they really want is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I will double check. I'm 92% sure that's exactly how Cecilia wants it.
Because what that says is, you know, there's five people lining up talking to the finance director.
Right.
If that's what the finance director wants, that's
yeah.
fine. But
oh, yeah, she wants
No, I see. And I think that I'll see what Cecilia says.
Yeah.
Because some of the things they do take straight to Chris to ask. So
well, yeah, and in a traditional sense, I mean, you have people...
You have layers.
You have somebody that's in charge of payroll. I mean, maybe we don't do this, but somebody's in charge of payables. Somebody's in charge of receivables.
We do that.
Somebody's in charge of bank reconciliations.
Mm-hmm.
And in larger companies, or maybe even here, there's one person in charge of each part. If that's the case, then I want to see that.
Very good.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And that's actually looking at this further. If you can make the utility technician 3 kind of between the supervisor... And the 1 and 2? Because that's supposed to be like a lead, a senior.
Yeah.
How many utility technician 3s do you have, Corey?
There's 2 right now.
Okay, let me get this
but
down.
Just, well, technically we don't have any because they're not utility technicians, but.
The plan is to have
1 utility technician 3.
And give.
That's the plan.
I'm losing it. Utilities supervisor, utilities technician, 1, 2, and 3, and you want to take 3 and put it directly under utility. Well, it is under utilities supervisor.
No, but what he's saying is, okay, I'm not here for 2 weeks.
The 1 and 2 reports to the 3.
The 3 would
be the next. Oh, okay, okay, I gotcha.
The next
in line. Yeah.
So make sure that Corey gets to approve this before we, right? Okay. Okay, good. And then that manager of administrative services, clerk of the board, has traditionally reported to both the general manager and the board of directors. Is that still the committees? Do you want to just go straight to the general manager?
I think we put it back through the general manager. Yeah. Let's get out of that game.
Okay. Keeping in mind that
no more
I'm still going to be talking to you. You can't get rid of me that easy, John.
Yeah, I know. But you know, then again, if my phone rings at 7 in the morning, I'll know it's my kid and no one else. You know, so
who's calling you at 7 in the morning?
I could just call you.
No. You're strictly reserved for Sunday mornings, my friend.
Right?
I get you on Sunday morning. Yeah. Oh, there's... Hey, John, there's crap running down the street. Is it okay if we fix that? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
But that will go to your... That phone call goes to your water operations manager.
Yeah. So it's layers between you and the emergencies.
Yeah. But, the code specifically says, you know, the 61050 and the 61051.
Exactly.
Specifically says that everybody replies or. Answers to the GM.
General manager. Mm-hmm.
Not
That's
allowed
right.
to talk to you guys anymore.
You can talk.
Right.
Yeah.
There are, and I've done a lot of research on this crap. there are in these GM contracts. There are some contracts more than others that
are real.
Make that very plain.
That. Yeah.
As to who does what and who can talk to who, not necessarily talk to who, but who can direct who. And you know, we'll see how that turns out.
Well, having this temporary structure has certainly increased the bonds and the open lines of communication with staff and the directors.
Is it good or bad? I can't say. I will tell you, as a personal opinion, as ugly as this has at times gotten, it has expanding the scope of what you. Primary mm-hmm. management people have been exposed to, and
yeah.
you know, now we'll have some much more of a formalized structure. But once you learn that, they can't take that away from you. Okay, so yeah. That part was good. There were some parts that are not so good. And I will accept some of the blame for that.
I don't know exactly how it will function, but I want to go back and say that generally you will be talking to the general manager, all of these people. It's just the way it's set up and the way we have to
It's the chain
understand.
Of command.
Right,
it
it's
is.
The chain
yeah.
of command, right.
Yeah.
And the Army does it, so it must work.
We need to get back
right.
to a semblance of
chain of command.
The chain of command.
Right.
And
yeah, and we drifted from that. I mean, you know, the first time I was here, you know, umpteen years ago, it was that's the way it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we
and we had an ad hoc committee that allowed for the group, some staff and two boards of directors and et cetera, to function because we don't have. We had an interim general manager, but all of that needed to work together.
Right.
That ad hoc committee.
Yeah. So we can, if there are any other comments and suggestions, this one's probably only semi-relevant, but I'm going to make it anyway.
Go ahead.
You know, there's, and I'm on the fire council, and I've been on
right.
the fire council forever, and I've been working with the county and with John Long and RMA and everybody else
and
to devise an emergency evacuation plan.
And
I was listening. I was coming back from the dentist yesterday. I was listening to a report on the Seattle fire where some woman said that we saw the fire from where we live and we understood what the threat was. And we got the emergency evacuation notice almost immediately. And she said, what normally took me 15 minutes to do in terms of where I needed to go took me 4 hours to get out. Because everybody got the notice at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she didn't further explain in the article that like she didn't have a gate.
Right.
So anyway, that I just thought I'd bring. I had to tell somebody that, but I was just aghast when I was listening to that.
Well, and
yeah. You know that we got deemed fire wise community, mm-hmm. and that's wrote a big article in the pipeline, and I'll put that on the. I sent it over to Vicki at RMA so that she can post the article so that everybody knows to talk to your insurance company about that.
Yeah,
that those designations might help you.
You can get. I don't know if they still do it, but originally, because this is the second time we've gotten that, and
okay.
you can get the certificate at RMA if you need a hard copy of it.
Okay.
They have them. I get about $120 off my insurance. Just like,
every little bit helps.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I'm checking but it's
out on that.
it's not it's relevant to the fact that we are doing these things, not necessarily that we have a perfect situation. But we are in the middle of, you know, doing the evacuation plan and doing a lot of the work that Phyllis was doing.
Well,
know.
There's a
the,
whole
the fire mitigation.
Yeah, fire mitigation.
There's also a whole county group, the fire and flood resilience. They
right.
have a grant, and they're actually looking
yeah.
and working with both us and RMA to. Try and get this
yeah, we've
situation.
Been, yeah, I'm John and I are kind of like at a lead level in this public conversation that they're having, and they had some questions about, you know, whether fire was really an issue here.
Nah.
I told them, well, you know, I mean, I don't know what the qualification is, but we got 6,000 trees, so, you know, maybe we are. But
and we're surrounded by grasses and.
Sure.
While people don't necessarily understand how bad that is, all you have to do is look at the Maui fire.
Yeah.
And that was a grassland fire. And it was worsened, of course, by the amount of wind that there was.
The only part of that that has always been in the back of my mind is, you know, the real issue, short-term issue, because it could get a lot worse, is, you know, how well is our plant protected?
Mm-hmm.
You know? As to where it is, and you know,
right.
wow,
and
yeah.
you know, if you guys
They won't let us cut the trees that are in front, but we do cut a firebrand. The weeds that are around it, we do at least cut that. But
who's they?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. So,
They about cutting the
cutting
trees?
Cutting the
trees,
yeah.
They're marked as the oak trees, and then we can't come down. Because we wanted, when we were doing the upgrade, we wanted to open that space up, and that's when they came out and marked trees, saying, can't touch these. I don't know who it was that did it.
Yeah.
Because that was, that was during the rain. So I don't know.
During what rain?
Paul Stevenson.
Yeah, well, they did the tree inventory in 2007, and that was directed by the developer as part. They had to do it as a requirement for the county for the plan. I mean, at some point, we got a lot of stuff going on, but at some point, we can address that. Mm-hmm. That to me,
foolishness,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
if we could cut those trees down and then like really, really, really get like a fire break around the plant. That would be
amazing.
Huge.
Yeah, it would be huge. Now, of course, all it's going to take is one spark because that building is kindling almost.
Yeah.
But we have a fire hydrant. The last time we had the fire that was on the other side of the mountain, Station 59 and myself were both there with hoses just waiting to do what we could. Mm-hmm. Never got there, but,
Just facetiously, if all else fails, save plant two.
Well, your big problem is if one of those chlorine tons explode.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Is there, just out of curiosity, is there a way to protect that? Would it be like a brick or cement building?
Well,
or?
Anyway, we got to close the meeting because we're off the agenda.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, adjourned. We're adjourned 10:42.